Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. There are loads of incentives for companies wanting to do business overseas, along with some great risks. Among them, words and phrases that get lost in translation. Maybe you heard about the time American beer maker Coors brought their cool phrase, "turn it loose," to Spain, not realizing that the phrase is often used there to mean suffering from diarrhea. Or when Mercedes-Benz expanded into China and accidentally translated its venerable brand name into a phrase that meant rush to die. We learned that there are many ways to inadvertently offend potential partners when doing business abroad, far beyond poor translation. Word of Mouth producer Logan Shannon and NHPR's production manager Andrew Perella discuss some of the ways you can find yourself in hot water overseas.
Did you know that you are never supposed to put your hands in your pockets for longer than it takes to retrieve an object in Austria?
I did not know that.
It's true in Belgium as well.
I'll be honest, I can see that. You know, if you're doing business, you don't put your hands in your pocket.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. Who knows what you're doing down there?
Also in Austria, it is wise for you to carry a few small presents with you, because if you're presented with a gift, you need to reciprocate immediately. I mean, it seems crazy.
That seems a little crazy because I'm not big on gift reciprocation just because someone gave me a gift.
Right.
It's like, especially if it was unsolicited.
How do you know how bold to go? I mean, are you?
I know. How would you have to carry, you know, different valued gifts in your pockets for whatever occasion?
Now in Bolivia, you are never supposed to eat with your fingers. So there are utensils for everything, even fruits such as bananas.
Huh.
Are eaten with a fruit knife.
Huh.
And a fork.
Does that include all sorts of
hors d'oeuvres? Yeah.
And everything needs to be eaten with silverware? Where do they stand on the toothpick question, though?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't have that information.
Okay.
But this next one makes me think that perhaps my husband was Finnish in a former life. The propensity of Finns to remain silent for extended periods of time confuses some foreign negotiators.
And this is like beyond kind of the Midwest pause.
Yes.
Right.
I guess in general, Finns are comfortable being quiet and pretty unemotional in public.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're silent for long periods of time, mm-hmm. you're supposed to just go with it.
Those are just a handful of the many tips offered in Kiss, Bow, or Shake Hands, a series of guides on conducting business abroad. To learn more, we caught up with Terry Morrison, co-author of the series, and an expert in business etiquette. Over the course of her career, she's heard a lot of stories about people making bad impressions, like this one.
I was going to relate a story about a woman scientist who was newly employed by a German management firm. And when she traveled to Frankfurt to meet her new employer, she was about 3 or 4 minutes late to the offices. When she was introduced to her new manager, she actually walked into his office, picked up a chair, and drew it closer to his desk. Then she called him by his first name and tried to crack a joke. So subsequently, the first impression that she left after this initial meeting was so horrendous that they had to have serious discussions about her future with the firm.
Terry, that sounds like a sort of powerful, assertive way to enter a conversation. It doesn't sound terribly bad. What'd she do wrong?
Initially, not being early for the appointment was the first faux pas. There are cultures that are exceedingly aware of the passage of time, and we're at one end of the spectrum, really, with the Germans and Northern Europeans, the Dutch, and the Japanese. Her being even 4 minutes late was a veiled insult to her new boss. Then not realizing that she should call him by his last name when she first meets him is also kind of a too familiar a form of introduction. The fact that she picked up his furniture, that was a grotesque faux pas, because in Germany, people are very sensitive to their space, they're territorial, and you don't touch their cars or their desks, and you don't move things around in an office.
So what do Americans most often get wrong when they're doing business abroad?
Well, some of it has to do with our approach as a physical entity. We're used to a very strong handshake and direct eye contact, and we're kind of loud. So this all comes across in the first 5 to 10 seconds, and it can be overwhelming and somewhat, you know, aggressive in cultures that really, particularly between genders, they don't touch.
As businesses around the world have become more globalized and America is a bit more of the standard, is the handshake the way that most people of business greet each other?
Yes, I would say that in general, yeah, but the variations even in a handshake are quite interesting because we have a strong grip. But if you go to most parts of Asia, it's more gentle and it does maybe last longer. I'll give a contrast one. Northern Nigeria is Islamic. And so when women greet men, many times they'll put their hand towards their chest and bow your head a little bit. That's very common. But if you are going to have a handshake, sometimes they'll put their second hand over your hand, and it's very warm and endearing, and it goes on and on for quite a while. So there's all kinds of variations to it.
Well, I was really surprised to read some of your advice on the importance of handling business cards. Tell us more.
It's a very important piece of you. It's an extension of you in Asia. You hand out cards all over Asia, and it has to be neat and clean, and you hold it with two hands as you present it. Yeah, your thumbs over the edges of it, and then the writing faces the person you are giving it to, and you receive theirs with a lot of respect, and then you put it in a card holder. You never stuff it in your pocket anywhere.
So you mentioned handshakes. What are some of the other cues that you're trying to look for when doing business abroad?
Well, we live in a very low-context culture. We don't use as many gestures to mean things in the United States, but in many parts of the world, even raising an eyebrow means there's alarm or interest. So there are a lot of subtle cues in countries in Asia and Latin America that speak reams. For example, if you see someone tilt their head back in Asia, that can mean that they almost are surprised and disagree with what's happening. Their eyebrows go up. And so subtly, they're giving everyone else in the room lots of information who's Japanese, but the people from the United States really aren't watching for that. Eye contact means a lot more than just looking at someone briefly. Even in England, they'll glance away from you periodically. It's too intrusive to have constant eye contact with people from the Middle East, particularly. Latin America, it can either be a challenge, very aggressive, or disrespectful, or very intimate. There are a lot of ways that your hands are used, little teeny gestures with everything from your pinky in Japan to putting your hand out in a wave can mean all sorts of different things.
The story you told us earlier of the woman in Germany, she was overcompensating. She was late, maybe a little nervous, and told a joke. How about humor? How is that regarded inside of international business protocols?
Well, humor takes time. And in Germany, the whole concept is we're here to do business, and it's serious. So trying to crack a joke, even if you knew them very well, is sort of inappropriate in a business venue because time is money. So jokes are great in the United States for opening a presentation or a meeting or what have you. But they really don't translate well. There's a lot of words that have no equivalent meaning in other languages, too.
Like what?
Love, duty, all sorts of things. The word love, from my understanding in Japanese, does not translate in an equivalent manner. It's more along the lines of duty. And making the assumption that a person can understand the joke in your language, translate it back into their native language in their own mind, and then respond to you appropriately, it's a pretty large jump.
I'm curious about when people from other countries are coming to do business here. What are the kind of customs that they have to think about or be taught?
They do a lot of research generally on us. We do not do, you know, half the research that the Chinese do, for example, when they come to the United States. So they read the books, they talk to their embassies and their ambassadors, and they have lots of meetings. Once they get here, they're prepared for certain things. One is we are abrupt, we're blunt, you know, we believe that honesty is the best policy. And in many cultures, diplomacy is so important that you would actually sort of sugarcoat the truth rather than be extremely honest with someone if you had bad news to deliver. If the Japanese say to you, that would be difficult, that means, no, we're not going to do that. So they do research to how our communication styles differ from theirs. They are aware that we're very oriented towards time. We use it in 15-minute increments. They realize that sometimes we come across as initially very friendly, but that doesn't translate into lots of offers to come to dinner at your personal home.
Mm-hmm. Terry, once you've made a bad impression, once you've done that eyeball roll or whatever you shouldn't have done, is there a way to make it up? Is there a way to ask for forgiveness?
Absolutely. The most important thing is to get used to apologizing. We feel as though we don't like to say we're sorry in the United States, either because it makes us look weak or, at the worst, we could be liable and go to court because we're very litigious. But in other cultures, that's the first thing you do, is you apologize for taking up someone's time, for making an error. A grave mistake means you have to do quite a good bit of apologizing before you're even permitted to go back into the country and work there again.
Terry Morrison, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Virginia.
Terry Morrison is an expert on business etiquette and co-author of the Kiss, Bow, or Shake Hands series of books on what to do and not to do when conducting business abroad.